Here we go.
What the fuck?
Pure dojo right away. Go, Haru.
How the hell?
Wow.
Stepping up professionalism. This is pure dojo.
196 shows. You think I'd know how to do this shit by now? What the? How did I do that? I have the digital decking on both deck A and the deck B on the soundboard. Holy
so
shit.
How much
okay.
have you been drinking tonight, Morps?
Well, I only had a couple of beers. Shit. How did I do that?
It's a feature.
Well, if you believe Microsoft, where the hell is...
That intro brought to you by Fallout 4, a game that everyone just went shut the fuck up about.
Apparently, you pick it up in prize language.
I'm leaving it in. I don't care. This is Pure Teching Show 1. I don't know what I'm doing. This is Pure Show. Wow.
Okay. It's a show. Yeah,
it's a show, damn it. Pure Teching number 196, Thursday, November the 12th, 2015. I'm Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me. In case you haven't figured it out yet, tonight we have with us Fox. Fox, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Jameson's Irish Whiskey.
Nice. Very nice. Are you 486? What are you doing, man?
Large glass of penicillin.
Cool. Bob?
I'm drinking Knob Creek bourbon tonight.
That's
fortunately,
plenty.
My box of wine has run out.
Everyone's drinking
finally.
Harder than I am. I'm just drinking a dragon's milk. So, although I did
well,
have a few
I've seen dragon's milk
show.
Knock somebody on their ass before.
Off a glass.
Okay, are you seriously comparing my ability to hold my liquor to Knox?
Wasn't throwing names out, but no. And it was only half a glass. Are you is right.
Oh my god.
I mean, you think we're body weight by volume. Fuck.
Pretty sure he doesn't use that handle anymore. Or
hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I stopped myself from saying something else. So anyways,
Go technology news, Morphs.
Oh yeah, we do that shit? I forgot.
It's slightly less awkward than this.
Well, you'd think it's actually really hard to find any major any decent stories to talk about that aren't Comcast hates you and the TPP either does or does not hate Linux. So
TPP hates everything, and nobody is talking about it, which is the really fucked up thing.
Well, it got released, so now everybody's talking about it, but it's like...
Okay, no quote-unquote major news organizations are talking about it.
It's
yeah,
in their
but
best
I mean,
interest not to.
It is.
Yeah.
But we talked about it, like, 2 years ago. So it's like, meh, it's bad. We're living in the cyberpunk world, and just using your computer properly means you get to hide from the cops. I mean, come on. So, well, copyright police anyways. But,
coming to your door soon.
Shit, right? If they had their way, they really would. That's the scary part, is you say that as a joke, you look at the TPP, they really would. I mean, there was the joke commercial on, IT Crowd a couple of years back where they broke in the house and shot the guy for downloading movies. That's like, you look at the, it's like they wanted that in the TPP. It's like somebody saw that and thought that was a good idea.
If like, you read correctly under some of it, some corporations will be able to have their own law enforcement officers.
Wow.
You haven't been reading it, have you?
I skimmed it. I missed that part.
It's pretty horrific, man.
Yeah, well...
So when did they issue the listener's license?
Not really sure, but from what I got in the wording of it, it was if local law enforcement is insufficient, then corporations can use privately funded, like Blackwater and stuff like that, to protect their interests. Any and all, wow. All of their interests. So, yeah, NYPD is not policing illegal downloading. Gonna need to bring in the Blacks team, you know?
It's like the private military shows up with the Bearcat over somebody downloading freaking movies. It's like, really? Is that what we're the level of?
No, we're not there yet, but you can see it from here.
Really can. That's the scary part. So
that's all right. As certain CEOs will become diplomats with immunity above and beyond the prosecution of local and international law.
Enough people are unhappy with it. I'm kind of hoping we see major revisions, if not rejected outright. But
we're too busy worrying about our feelings to worry about our rights.
Don't even get me started on that shit. I've already decided when I start doing my YouTube video stuff on, you know, using Linux and avoiding some of this shit, I'm going to have to make what my political stances are known right away. Just it's like, okay, guys, here it is. I'm not, you know, talking about the shit, but because it's going to come up, here it is. Here's my email address. Leave me the fuck alone. If you really insist on yelling at me about something, I will laugh at your email on the video on air. But other than that, so it's like I don't even give a shit. But here it is. So, but just continuing in the vein of companies not giving a shit. This first one up is from Extreme Tech. New research from Avast reveals just how easily compromised many so-called TVs are, as well as how little consent. Or how little your consent to being tracked actually matters. This hack is related to the investigation they discussed yesterday regarding Vizio's decision to sell identifiable user data to third parties and advertisers, although many of these issues are interrelated. Writing for Avast, Aaron McSorley details how the company investigated the security of a Vizio smart TV. The entire point of the exercise to illustrate how a normal person could be implicated or impacted by hacking a smart device via a man in the middle. And so the actual quote is, in the end, we found that the smart TV we were inspecting actually broadcasted fingerprints of user activities. Whether they agreed to the device's privacy policy in terms of service when first setting it up, or whether or not. So,
you can't disagree.
Yeah, basically, no button's a placebo. The I don't agree to be tracked is a placebo in these things. They do it anyways.
If you don't agree with a smart TV, it does not allow you to turn it on. There's no functionality of the television unless you accept all its terms and conditions the first time you start it up.
So they did note that apparently Vizio released a patch to fix this the moment they were notified about it. So, but how many people think to patch their damned TV? They don't exactly have Windows Update.
Well, by the way, it is sounding patched. It does, and it's running Windows 10.
This is why I worry about Windows 10, is Windows 10 has some options for turning this stuff off, but how do we know that they do anything either? People have been watching the network traffic out of Windows 10, and apparently it sends an amazing amount of data back to Microsoft, no matter what options you have set.
Yeah. Wave of the future.
We may have an incoming madman. If he can,
not unless you tell him in the proper chat window, because saying sure in our chat window is not exactly going to get to his chat window. Just saying.
I'm really not doing good tonight, I tell you what.
There we go.
Hey, as Morph
demonstrates why he doesn't deserve a pay rise this month.
Ouch. You know, the whole cost of free. We're doing this shit. What are you talking about free? This shit costs me money.
I didn't say anything about free. You're the one throwing the word free around.
Well, actually, you know, it's not exactly free, because I'm sure this channel's being monitored by the NSA constantly.
So if we put ads on, do you say the NSA would fund us?
No, we're still trying to do that whole Fry's Electronics thing. We'll keep saying Fry's Electronics until they pay us to stop, and we haven't gotten a check yet.
Yeah. What are you drinking tonight, Mad Ben?
I'm drinking a Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Nice. Nice. So, apparently Vizio puts out TVs that even if you say, "Oh, I don't consent to be tracked," they track you anyways. So, that's what we've been discussing.
Nice! So, they're going with the Apple and Windows models for...
well, it, Windows
it's really, really too bad that they've tarnished their top brand, like, top quality brand name. Because Vizio, I think, really was held in high regard for a lot of people.
Yeah, but you must remember 90% of people out there think that that's a feature for their benefit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not helping me that they're keeping track of what I'm faffing to?
Well, I mean, it actually
does work out in your best interest that they do keep track of what you're faffing to, because then they might suggest to you porn that you never would have found before.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate when you get the knock on the door because you've been watching 19 hours of iCarly straight. And you're a 37-year-old single man.
Had to get there before she hit the meth up.
So how are they defending it? Why have... they said it was an error and released a fix. And I was just commenting how many people remember to patch their televisions.
Oh.
Sorry, guys. Our bad. Sorry.
We didn't hide this well enough the first time.
There you go.
I keep forgetting, it's not a TV anymore. It's a computer with a built-in monitor.
Basically just reduced Vizios to very large IMAX.
Whenever the TV needs to be patched, I'm starting to question whether you still call it a TV at that point.
Nope.
Well, it's like that 30-some-odd-inch tablet they were talking about the other day.
Oh,
That it's like, that's not a tablet anymore. That's a TV.
Like, that's a tabletop. You just lie it flat, and there's your D&D screen right there. Pull up all the maps. It fits the miniatures just perfect.
They actually have those where the miniatures have RFID tags at the bottom of them, and so it registers where they are on screen while you're playing the game.
That's kind of awesome.
I can't really diss that one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you can get the designated coffee tables.
Yeah, they had them at Gen Con.
Yeah. Like, what was it? Like, wasn't Microsoft experimenting with some sort of tabletop thing for a while?
Yeah, they were going to sell it to restaurants. Everybody balked at paying, you know, $100,000 for a table.
But now that people want $15 an hour, that's really becoming a viable commodity to have a digital service.
You know, that's true. That's probably true.
Invest a couple hundred grand now, you're going to save $1 million down the track when you haven't had to pay for healthcare insurance, staff.
Yeah, you automate it all down and you run the entire restaurant on like three
employees. I did a whole STEM thing at university, and I work at McDonald's. I'm a technician on the touch screens. That's how it's going to be, dude. You're going to do the big fucking IT 4-year course and still be working at fucking McDonald's, man. Just not doing burgers and fries. You're doing touch screens and interfaces.
They're saying that the number of people working below their training level is at record numbers right now.
Yeah.
India is flipping out something like, I think it's 5 million high-level engineers a month out of universities.
Now, when you say high level, obviously you haven't read the reviews of some of these third-party shops.
No, but you know that's what I mean. If they're turning out 5 million, what do you think your degree is going to be worth? How many China's throwing out, you know, a month?
Oh yeah. Okay, I need to stop you there because you're assuming that the Chinese in India, some of them will be. Don't misunderstand me, but I've seen far too many who they had that degree, didn't fucking matter. And they didn't know what they were talking about.
We both know one person with the exact same degree that you have doing less than what I have.
So maybe speaking more towards degrees are kind of worthless. Like they're not as, you don't learn as much as you used to in university.
Well, it's not that, but you know, of course, especially in an IT really the thing. Like, what you learn your first year is obsolete by the time you graduate.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people are pushing, don't go to university.
I've seen a new business model coming out of high-end businesses actually getting you to pay them for 4 years of working for them, and then they'll guarantee you a job at the end of the 4 years. Like, you're paying for the old-school style of apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. They'll teach you everything you need to know in-house.
You know, I'll be perfectly honest, and this is as somebody who works as an IT professional, I use the term loosely, but you know, as somebody who actually does work in the field, IT work probably should be an apprenticeship style system as opposed to a higher education.
Fuck, I'd do one on emails.
Much like the link, well, phrasing.
Oh, are we doing phrasing now?
Well, yeah, I'm doing phrasing. Are you at least took that one right there? You know, it's coming down to the point where a lot of these universities, like the one I just linked, it's one of those things that they offer certifications along with the degree. So, okay, you get your bachelor's or your master's in IT, but you also get your MCSE and NTSE, like all these, you know, required certifications, and they're probably going to be more beneficial to you than a bachelor's or master's degree after your resume.
Every
goes
certification
in.
I got when I was in school is worthless today.
Oh, yeah. By today's standards, yeah. I mean, I took a networking class from Cisco, and other than the wiring order of a Cat5 cable, I don't remember shit from it, but they were talking about, you know, Cat5e being the up-and-coming whoop-de-doo cabling technology.
You know what's sad? Green, white, green, orange, white, blue, white, orange, brown, white, brown. Or orange, white, orange, green, white, blue, white, green, brown, white, brown.
That one, yes.
No, yeah. they're both valid.
They are.
You
as
just
long
use
as
one on either
on
end if you need a crossover cable. That's
yeah.
So
basically, it's like the only thing I remember from that class, and everything else from there, it's like, well, you don't really have to do that anymore. Or whatever. But at least, you know, when people are looking to hire you, they look at your certifications as well as your degree work, and it kind of gives you a leg up on, you know, random Joe Blow with a bachelor's degree or master's.
Well, anymore, most of the job interviews I've been to, they, you know, the degree got you past the HR department. They get you in with their people, and they start asking questions. What have you touched? Do you know what snort is? Do you know what a, do you know TCP/IP? What are the seven layers of the OSI stack, or the seven layers of hell of the OSI stack, depending?
You should not throw sausage pizza away.
What programming language? Oh, you know a programming language. Cool. Explain the concept of a function. Explain basic object oriented. They start asking questions. They just see if you know what your shit is.
Well, but hell, anymore, just getting past that HR firewall is the hardest thing to do. I mean, what HR is looking for on somebody's resume is completely different from what the IT department is looking for.
Well, that's because HR, you know, asks for really stupid things. And so, you know, I need 10 years of experience with Windows 10. Windows 10 isn't a year old. I need 10 years of experience with Windows 10. Oh, my God. And then you get the assholes who lie on the resume. It's like, yes, I have 10 years of experience with Windows. what? I mean, so for the majority of IT work, I truly think an apprenticeship better. And if you're going to be doing some really high-end math or high-end like mechanics engineering or theoretical work on a computer science level that's like, you know, designing processors kind of shit, maybe then the engineering and science degree. But if you're doing network work, system, sysad, programming, I think an apprenticeship would be far better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, especially because, I mean, you go into any kind of business where IT is related, and they all have their own in-house software, their own specific setup that they're working on. And so regardless of what you've learned, the people that have set this network up and have put these systems in place, they've got their own way of doing things. It's always going to be a learning experience. And it's easier to train someone coming in than trying to change them from ways that they learned.
Yeah, I just got done teaching myself Elasticsearch. The first time I touched that was a couple of months ago. It's like, holy shit, dude. I mean, you have to talk about a pain in the ass for one thing. But,
What is Elastic Search? I haven't heard of that.
Never even heard of it. Oh, okay. It's a NoSQL database.
Okay.
It's fantastic at holding and indexing large amounts of data. You've got to put a lot of engineering around it to make it really work right. But when I went to school, you know what database they were talking about?
Access?
Yeah.
Bam, called it. Took the same damn class.
Well, no. Madman, you don't understand. Higher level database courses, you know what they taught them in?
Oh, was it Video Normally... Professor? Please tell me it wasn't taught in Video Professor.
No. I'm just saying I learned normalization on access databases.
Okay.
He could still get a job in some banks as an IT guy.
Yeah, probably. That's the sad part.
I know a lot of banks that haven't made it as far as access. They're still on DOS.
Yeah, the financial and healthcare industries are way behind the curve on certifying their software.
I had
a bank, which I've moved away from pretty quick, but I went and got an account and got set up for like internet access or their web banking and stuff like that, and they're like, your password can only be 8 characters long, I think, and it can only be numbers.
Yeah, that's because their system. No, okay.
Are you
okay.
Fucking kidding me?
I can tell you why that is. They're not running DOS. Okay, the terminals might be running a version of DOS, but they're not running DOS. Their system is actually running on an AS400, and I don't mean an IBM Power Series. I mean an AS400.
Yeah.
Because they paid $1 million for that thing in the 70s, and by God, they're going to use it till it dies.
Wow. So much power. Okay, then again, it's pretty much unhackable. Nobody's even looking for shit like that anymore out there.
Like, that is old. Yep. Like, that sets off so many warning flags. I'm like, okay, well, thanks for doing business with me. I think I'll be going elsewhere.
You know, there are some very serious arguments that things like Windows 98... are actually more secure than modern versions of Windows because no malware knows how to talk. It makes it, if you're running an 8-bit or a 16-bit operating system, 32-bit and 64-bit malware is not going to run on it.
It's true, but like, you know, security through obscurity is not a good solution. It kind of works sometimes, but if somebody knows what you're doing, it's not difficult to get past.
If you're running OS 9 on a PowerPC, somebody's going to have a hell of a time hacking. You're going to have a hell of a time getting it on the internet so they can hack it, but they're going to have... Although, this is coming from someone who, no word of a lie, I have gotten a Commodore 64 on the internet before. Used it in IRC.
Look, you know,
you could go to the worst sites imaginable on that, and nothing would touch it. It wouldn't know what to do.
Hey guys,
that's
I'm
because the processor in the network card has more power than the actual processor in the computer.
Sorry,
Saul, what were you saying?
Anybody have a recommendation for an antivirus? So I just clicked on a couple of links from the stories here. Avast pops up. Outsmart hackers, companies, and governments. Anybody can see what you do online. And, you know, they're selling some VPN shit. But, like... That's just for me clicking on a couple of links in TeamSpeak, and that kind of sketches me out, and I need to
install Adblock Plus and NoScript in your browser.
Oh no, that's done. That's been done.
If you're
forever.
Running Windows, Microsoft's built-in antivirus, the Windows Defender, it's as good as any of them. They all suck. No, I'm dead serious. All antivirus sucks. And the reason is that it's fundamentally
flawed. It's like putting a condom on after you've blown your load.
It's very... Well, yeah, that's actually not wrong. Pretty much, antiviruses work on the basis of trying to either A, recognize behavior, or B, they look for signatures. Well, their signatures can never be up to date. Because if you think about it, they're only going to have the signatures running that they think are most likely for you to run into. Stuff that's a couple of years old, maybe, and the common things. They're not going to have every antivirus from when X, or every virus from when XP was released to today, loaded in the signatures, because your machine would not be able to run. It would be using, you know, a terabyte of RAM just to hold antivirus signatures. So they suck. So most of them now try to rely on heuristics. It's editing your registry. It's unpacking files in a strange way. It's modifying other files. And they suck at that too, because if you do anything beyond, you know, running the occasional game and a couple of well-known applications, it's going to false positive all over the place. And you end up turning it off.
You're your first line of defense.
So, yeah. AdBlock Plus, no script. And if you are worried about clicking on links, on Windows, there's a fantastic program called SandboxE. On Linux, has an equivalent called FireJail. SandboxE is not free, but it does a fantastic job. Komodo has some free stuff, but... What?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, you have a you have a non-expiring extended trial edition.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It may have been free at one point, but no, it's not free anymore. But Komodo has some free stuff, but Komodo, you might as well be installing the malware because it's going to bug you to buy it every 5 minutes.
Right.
But yeah, so I would behave with that, because at least with something like Sandboxy, you can actually... I used to do this. If I was going to sites I thought were sketchy, I would load up Sandboxy and actually have the folder, the actual Sandbox folder, just be watching it, because it won't make a new folder in that Sandbox unless something tries to touch it. And then you just go to a website and see what files get touched. And...
Right.
Like, you know, you sit there and watch the thing try to install stuff in Windows Sys32, and it's like, where'd you go? Target. It's like, you know, you need something, you Google, and it's like trying to install all this crap all over your system, and it's like, shit. Now, the Linux version FireJail is free, but is a little bit trickier to use. But, yeah, so that's probably the better way to go. Shit, it's... let's go to this next story.
I didn't mean to derail.
No,
that.
No, we were just having a good conversation. I
figured I'd mention it.
If you want to cry, Suave, banks still run COBOL.
Oh boy. Well, you know, security through obscurity, I guess.
There are actually COBOL engineers who make damn good money, because very few people understand what COBOL and Fortran are anymore.
It's because the Fed hasn't updated a lot of things. So to talk to them, you have to keep an older system.
Yeah. Where I work is moderately a financial, and it's very interesting the hoops we have to jump through to work with government systems.
Yes. So individual banks, and at least dealing from bank to bank, they may have a very modern setup, but they're going to keep something that's 40, 50 years old, just because they still have to do business with the Fed. You can't avoid it.
And a lot of these things that looked in modern, what they've done is built a nice modern front end on something old. I met a couple of engineers who work for a bank at a Linux conference, and we were talking about how they set up screen scrapes on AS400s emulated on power machines. And these screensavers were ran by little Java applets that would then feed databases, and they would run their web app. So it looked like they had a nice, shiny, modern, and all it was really doing was it was chopping your password off down to the 7 characters and stripping any specials and plugging it straight into their old ass system.
And it wasn't I know one of the names of the companies.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And the funniest part is that it's not that the company didn't want to upgrade. They wanted to. They had absolutely no way, short of spending 3 times what it would cost them to buy an entire system over again, to get their data out of their old system. Because they would have to hire an army of engineers to work in Fortran to get their data out. Because there was no way to do it.
And then the next issue is the downside, the downtime for the turnover, because they've been training all their employees on that old system, so they have to retrain them all on a new system.
So it's interesting working in some of these industries. The automotive industry is not much better. They all run on AS400 emulated on power too. So this next story I threw in the thing a while back. According to the Linux Foundation, they are working with NASA. They are going to port the International Space Station over to Linux. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't already running some form of Unix.
What is it running now?
Probably Windows.
Those astronauts are going to die.
That's fucking ballsy.
Oh, God.
Here's the quote right now. We migrated key functions from Windows to Linux because we needed an operating system that was stable and reliable, one that would give us in-house control. So if we needed to patch, adapt, or adjust, we could. With the transition to Linux looming, Chubala, did they give their name? A leader of the laptops and network migration
Keith team. Chubala.
Keith Chubala, yes, thank you. Turned to the Linux Foundation training program for help. So NASA went to the Linux Foundation's like, okay, this shit ain't working.
and then Microsoft went to the manufacturers of the CO2 scrubbers and then said the software you need to run those is proprietary now and we want to purchase it from you. We're going to force them to run Windows.
So what's really funny is let's see, what was the guy's name? Duval. He's espousing the benefits of the Linux training value proposition. USA NASA is as horrendous as it gets. They had a heavy Debian Linux deployment, but also had various versions of Red Hat Cent. Because our training is flexible and they a variety of distributions, we were able to address all those different environments in a single training session. You know, now that I think about it, didn't NASA help fund science? No, that was CERN. Never mind. I was going to say, I was trying to remember who... There was a port of... it wasn't really a port. It was another CentOS where they took the Red Hat sources and made what was basically another CentOS, but they called it Scientific Linux, and I think that's still around. I haven't looked. Google that real quick. But basically, they're going to be changing up the systems that run the space station to run on
they probably just got tired of all the Windows updates.
Well, you think about it, it's kind of hard to run that when you're linked back to the, you know, if you're on the space station, your link's probably not that great back to Earth. Yeah, Scientific Linux looks like it's still going. So I
oh, you're
at that
just about to
while.
Exit the airlock. Oh, Windows needs to restart.
Hold on while we install 37 updates.
Yeah, restart your system.
Wait, what's that system run? The air, sir. It's like, so we're going to decline those updates. Oh, Windows 10 doesn't let you do that. Hell, the broadcast box.
It's hung on the last patch.
Oh, no.
Hold your breath. It might get next.
The broadcast box just a minute ago cleared out everything and tried to get me to restart the system. You know, it has a later button on it, but I mean, Windows doesn't even pull back anymore. It's like, you know, no, you're stopping everything you're doing to answer this question about Windows updates.
Oh, yeah. And if you just ignore it, then you're just getting a restart.
Yeah, it's going to at some point. I'm just hoping I finish the show before it does. It'll probably do it tonight, honestly. But it's still bugging me to install Windows 10. I'm just going to let it sit there and see if it ever does it on its own.
Anyone figured out how to get that off yet?
I haven't tried. I'm just going to leave it. I want to see if it does it on its own. You want to get rid of it on your machine.
Talk to BSV. I think he figured out how to get it off.
There was a list of updates that you could remove, because you can go in and remove install the Windows updates in certain parts of control panel that would make it go away, but you'd have to block those from coming back in.
Well, I think it's only a matter of time for all the versions of Windows they still support get a service pack update that just takes it right up to where Windows 10 is right now. We're feeding data and everything like that, so it's going
to
be a...
Oh, that already happened. The telemetry's already been backported to AS7 and 8. But the funny thing is, I didn't have the story because it was crap. But basically, there was a quote-unquote error in Windows Update where they accidentally started deploying Windows 10. It was a sketchy story. I wasn't sure how much of it I bought. But the article was talking about how they were accidentally installing Windows 10 on people's machines even if they declined the update.
Oopsie! It's a feature.
Well, I noticed a bunch of our machines at work were complaining about hard drive space lately, and yeah, there's the Windows 10 update on our servers. You know, the ones that don't run Windows Update automatically. It's kind of like, what the fuck? So.
Oh, I wonder how many hospitals are going to be crashing because of this.
Hospitals have a worse problem. Fox, I think you can speak to this. I know you used to work in one. A lot of that hardware has to be certified to be considered medical equipment. You can't run updates on those.
Yeah, pretty much the reason why all hospital software is so far out of date is the vendors won't spend the money to update it. So they have to go through this big licensure and certification process before they'll sign off. And it's like, oh, hey, did your glucose pump just BSOD on you? Tough shit. So. You know, the medical imaging thing just totally lost all your x-rays and CAT scans for the last month. There's no lawsuits coming from that. No, there's this big, vetted process that they all have to go through with each version of Windows, and they are, it's like pulling teeth to get them to move forward. We still have a couple applications where we can't even upgrade to Windows 7 because the vendor is still dragging their ass on the latest version.
I was going to say, isn't that a lot of equipment still running on XP and Windows embedded shit?
Yes. Yes, it is. A lot of the pumps and the things that people don't really consider to be computers and don't really look at until suddenly they stop working.
It's been a little while since I explored a hospital network, but I seem to remember finding a machine that was running Windows embedded 5, which ended up looking a lot like XP, was invulnerable to MS-0867, and I'm pretty sure was one of those automated pharmacies.
Yeah, we had a couple programs that were, it was running like Windows 95, and it was some weird back-ass tracking software that ran on a desktop shoved in a network closet up on the fourth floor that everyone forgot about because it just did its thing. It's like, oh, yeah, no one's looked at that for, the last 15 years, and suddenly nothing on it works anymore. How fuck are you?
Just a quick one. I don't want to get off topic, but I was left alone with a machine that goes Bing that's wirelessly connected to the hospital system, and it had an open USB port. How much damage could I have done?
If you had one of my modified Nexus 7 tablets, yeah.
I'm just saying, I was left alone with it for half an hour.
Yeah, you could have cost them a lot of money.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah, you could have made it not go Bing anymore.
Not if you did it right. Anyways,
it would still
have
gone
Bing. Next story,
but okay, next story up plays the Star Wars tune.
Oh, I want a heartbeat monitor to start playing the Imperial March now. It's like, sir, we're going to have to euthanize you. You may be evil. turns out there's actually laws allowing us to do this when we've detected the presence of pure evil. It's fairly easy to detect, standard chemical test. And
for a short show, we've managed to derail it for 50 minutes now.
I'm okay with that, truthfully, because most of the stories I have are not that great. Password pilfering app. This is from Ars Technica. Password pilfering app exposes a weakness in iOS and Android vetting process. So, short version, this thing called Insta Agent, which was for Instagram, was approved in both Google Play Store and the iOS App Store. And it shot your Instagram password off to the author. Username and password off to the guy who wrote it. And,
that's amazing.
Yeah, made it past both of them. And,
other than screwing actual developers out of a little bit of the money for the video games they make, does this approval process for these stores accomplish anything?
Well, in Apple's case, it keeps a lot of the porn apps out.
Well, that's really a good thing.
For the most part, it usually keeps out like most of the shitty stuff.
That's kind of the reason it's a story, is that it made it onto iOS and Android. The Android Google Play Store, the vetting it does is automated.
Yeah,
it,
okay.
You know, it's not even really vetting. They do some basic scans looking to see if you're doing stupid shit. And they verify the permissions your app asks for when it runs, kind of thing.
Right.
It's one of the reasons you don't see these apps, because you assume most of these app developers are moderately lazy. They would just come on and ask for everything, right? But they don't do that. They actually list out what they need, because if they did do that, they ask for a bunch of permissions and they don't use it in the code. That's one of the things that'll get your app pulled from the store. So it's just, but you know, Google's saying it's almost you have to, you know, get caught doing it, then they'll pull it. But yeah. It is interesting that this stuff gets past it a lot. So, you know, unfortunately, on mobile platforms, about the best thing you can do is look at the reviews. That's really sad that the best way you can vet your software on a phone is to look at the reviews, but that really is about it. Which means you can't install stuff as it's new. You gotta give it a couple of months out there to see when people start complaining about it. You know, so yeah, about the best you can do to keep malware off your phone, even in the official stores, is don't install every app under the sun, for one thing. Make sure what you have reinstalled is not new. And, you know, Psychos has a good point in the chat room there. If you can use all open source free apps, you know, that's an option, but you really got to limit yourself to only use that kind of stuff. And that's a difficult proposition, because I always look at it like I would love to run all open source software, but it's not practical. Like my Linux machine, I have a nice NVIDIA card in it. I use the closed source drivers, because otherwise it's like running the card at about a third of the speed it can run at, which is like, well, why would I pay for it and then run it at a third of what it can do? So, but if you compartmentalize, which is what we were talking about before the show, Suave, I think that's about the best thing you can do for now. Try to stick to the free software as best you can, and when you're doing something that you need something, and need is, of course, a relative term here, try to compartmentalize. If you need, quote-unquote, need, use an Instagram app. You know, burner Android phones are moderately cheap. You can get them for about 30 bucks at the supermarket. You know, if you need to play with these things as they come out, use it on a burner phone. Make sure it's safe. Then set up multiple accounts. I don't know. Set up an account, see if it gets popped. If it doesn't get popped after a couple of months, okay, well, the app was probably okay, and you can install it on your main phone. God, what a way to live.
But now the app is updated. Is it still okay?
Well, you know, yeah, that's actually
nothing like the flashlight app suddenly selling all your personal data.
Yeah. Well, hell, iOS had that problem with the Chinese app store, where people were getting a copy of Xcode from Baidu, and all the libraries in it were pre-owned. And Apple didn't check their own libraries, because who would mess with the library? So, let's see. TechCrunch story, Gmail will soon warn users when emails arrive over unencrypted connections. Anybody care?
Really?
I'm asking, does anybody care?
Oh.
Say no.
Nope. All right. Next one up, Microsoft severely fucked up their last patch for Windows 7, MS-15-115.
In similar news, water is wet and the sky is blue.
Well, here's the funny part on this one. So what this update did was it was a patch for Ook that dealt with TrueType fonts coming in. And pretty much you could get remote execution by sending somebody a flipping email. But this patch is really fucked up. It will make it impossible to use. It will make the lock screen black. crashes several applications, including SolidWorks, which is a very high-end application, blocks networking login. And it'll crash the Windows 7 sidebar gadgets. So, if you install your updates right away, good luck. So, the reason I point this out is because if you do manage the patches, I actually delayed this month's Windows patches because of this thing. Now, this article is saying that Microsoft basically pulled the patch, fixed it, and then re-released it under the same patch number. So now you don't know which one you have, whether you had the fixed one or not.
Nice.
And
it's a feature.
It's a feature. So, if you can get to Windows Update and your machine's fucked up, you can get it fixed if it'll run. If you can't, well... Because, one of the things that it really messes up is the on-screen keyboard. So if you have one of these tablet-only machines... whoops.
There's your problem.
So... yeah. Everyone will enjoy this story. There was a study that basically said people who live on Facebook are unhappy. Carried out by the Happiness Research Institute that involved a sample of 1,095 people in Denmark who were divided into two groups, half of whom continued to use Facebook while the other half stopped. We focused on Facebook because it's the social media that most people use across age groups. Melik Winking, HRI's chief executive, the Happiness Research Institute. I just have to imagine everyone in there is like high constantly.
Probably at a high suicide and turnover rate.
So, after a week, those people who hadn't been on Facebook said they were more satisfied with their lives, with 88% of them describing themselves as happy compared to the 81% from the second group. Some 84% said they appreciated their lives compared to 75% in the group that continued to use Facebook. And only 12% describe themselves as dissatisfied compared to 20% among those who continue using Facebook. At the end of the experiment, the Abstanders reporting having a much richer social life. This is after a week of not using Facebook, right? A much richer social life and fewer difficulties concentrating, while others reported no such change. So, I question the validity of the study because they only were off Facebook for a week. And their differences
also,
could just...
This is in Denmark where I think they have like record rates of alcoholism and depression.
Come on, it's dark there half the year. What else would you do? Drink and sit on Facebook.
Well, if it's dark all the time, you could at least try to find a chick and... Well,
good luck to those tens of thousands of immigrants going into Denmark this year. I know you're used to seeing the sun every day in Africa, but... good luck.
And think of the one night stands that last for weeks.
That's an end of the one night stand where you can taste colors. I mean, it's just like, wow. I
wonder how much AIDS in Denmark should I get the next few months?
A lot. Someone say epidemic.
You assume?
Well, I had heard that Europe is getting diseases that have been pretty much eradicated, reintroduced by other migrants.
Yeah, the Black Plague, tuberculosis, TB is actually running rampant through the hospitals in Germany right now, to the point where they had to shut one of the major ones down for cleaning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's luckily we're going to have 8 months of winter before the cholera breaks out.
I have no other response.
There are many reasons to control immigration into your country.
Yes. Considering half these people don't know what a toilet is.
Well, I mean,
it's that place you shit on in the street.
Yeah, the ground.
The ground.
I mean, you got to be careful. You never know if you don't control your borders, you might show up.
No, sorry.
Yeah, the only way he could get in is an illegal anyway. He doesn't have a passport.
Actually, he does now. He finally got one.
Wow.
Yeah, he, Faye Light, and his family went up to Canada this year. Hey?
Oh, so he went to America Light.
You stopped.
Yeah. Way to travel, buddy.
All right, so he went to the one country where I don't think you need a passport. You can show him your driver's license and get across the border.
Oh, I don't think he can get away with that shit anymore.
Yeah,
I remember the good old days when we would just like hop down to the States and like nobody, it didn't matter if you didn't have your passport. You just, you know, whatever ID I happened to have was fine.
Yeah, except for that time you were super drunk and ended up in the U.S. for no reason.
I have no recollection of such events.
No shit.
What ID is this? I drew this in crayon myself, sir. Enough. I mean, all right, let's play this for you. This Yo! Hadouken! So, to wrap things up, Dojo, we got a nice little write-up from the Canadian IT Pro Connection. Which is actually posted on Ted. Thank you, once again. A couple of interesting things here on this particular article. It has a WSH shell script to recover your actual Windows 10 product key. So after you've updated, if you wanted to, say, do a clean install, or if you needed to rebuild your machine, you know, virus attack, whatever. You know, if your computer gets TB... Burn it in a fire. No, but this will let you get your actual Windows 10 product key after, you know, you've upgraded. The other thing that's useful on this particular page is they've listed out the generic Windows 10 keys. So what these are the keys that you use if you want to set up a quote-unquote demo version of Windows. I think it ends up being the insider preview keys. But if you just need to get the system installed and you're not particularly worried about running it long term, these keys will at least get you going. So you can do a clean install from that, then drop in your real key. In fact, I think the article is talking about, you know, if you need to do a clean install, you'd make your Windows 10 media, you format, you install with the generic key, and then you put your key back in after using his shell script extracted. So it's always nice to know how to get around the DRM, and it was kind of handy earlier because I was screwing around with one of my VMs and broke it. So, and since I'd upgraded a volume key to Windows 10, I kind of needed a way to get the real key. that's all I got. You guys got anything?
Nope.
No, 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 sorry.